listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, and we're facing destruction in Florida this morning. Milton, it says may make landfall within 12 hours. Many people in Florida are evacuating. I can't imagine living out there. I don't know why people live there at all, because this happens every year. And my God, you know, I mean, people ask us why we live in earthquake country, but you know what? It's not as bad, and let's hope it stays this way. At any rate, I have a special guest in the studio, Sybil Lake. Welcome to the show, Sybil.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
I'm wonderful.
Awesome. And I'm glad you made it, because you had a little bit of difficulty with the parking, which is our fault. But you made it, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Did you drive far this morning?
I live in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica. Okay, so was the drive okay?
Yeah, everything in LA, as you know, is about like 29 minutes usually.
Right.
Everywhere you go.
Well, that's pretty good, actually. Sometimes it takes longer than that from Santa Monica during rush hour and stuff. You know,
I actually put in some time. I was thinking like, okay, it's going to be rush hour, but I don't know. It didn't seem to matter. Maybe the traffic goes the opposite direction.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday I had a guest from Venice, and he also got here pretty fast. So
yeah.
I'm glad. I'm glad you didn't have to battle heavy traffic. So we're going to talk about your show and everything else and stuff. We want to find out a little bit about you first.
Okay, great.
Are you from L.A. originally?
No. I mean, I was born in Virginia, but I mostly grew up in Rhode Island, and I lived in New York for 24 years.
Oh.
In 2019, I moved here with my family, my husband and my two boys.
I see. What year was that, did you say?
2019. So I got a little bit of normal L.A. before the pandemic, which is great because, you know, you got to see what the lifestyle is like before shutdown. You know, I have some friends who moved during the pandemic, and you know, they got a really different impression of L.A. because they thought it was so isolating and all of that. But, you know.
Yeah, the pandemic killed us, man. I'm telling you. It's like, it's the worst thing that could have happened to me, you know.
I didn't need to bring it up.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
I mean, we can't ignore the fact that it was around, and it really messed up our lives, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the station used to be so much bigger and everything. We had like three simultaneous studios running at the same time. We had some 85 shows.
Wow.
But then the pandemic came and people couldn't sit in the same room together.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we went, the people that stayed, we went to remote shows, but we lost a lot of people, you know. And only this year I reopened here and we're rebuilding and everything, you know, but it really destroyed everything.
And this is a beautiful studio.
Thank you very much.
And the orange is very vibrant. It wakes you up every morning, I bet.
Yeah. Well, that's the colors of our logo are black and orange, so I made it gray and orange because I didn't want black walls, you know.
Yeah.
That's a little too dreary.
That's the colors of the Halloween, which is coming up.
That's true. Absolutely. That's funny. So you said you have kids. How many kids do you have?
I have two sons, 5½ and 7½. It's important when you're at those ages, apparently, to say the half, you know. We don't say I'm such and such and a half or a 3/4, you know. But when you're younger, it's really important for me to add that half.
It really is, you know. And for a similar reason, I also think why life seems to go faster as we grow older.
Yeah.
Because a year becomes a smaller fraction of our lives, you know.
That's what it is, I think.
Yeah, so it's like a year doesn't feel like a year anymore.
No.
When you're a kid, a year is a long time.
I know.
It's eternity,
know.
You know.
I know. Remember summer vacation? It was like an eternity.
Yeah.
You know, it was a whole lifetime. Nowadays, school goes later in the year and starts earlier.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's less. There is actually on calendar.
So they have less vacation now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But we pack it in. You know, we had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you when you moved out of Virginia?
2.
Oh, okay. So you don't really remember anything about it.
I might have some vague memories, but they might have been like created by looking at photographs. You know, like I imagine that like I'm running in a field of flowers. That may or may not have happened. I really don't know. It's interesting about memories. You know, you start to go like, is that even real? You know,
That's true.
Does it matter? It can be real if I want to.
That's true. And you never know, you know, because sometimes, and that's the thing. Sometimes people, I think they have memories of things that never happened, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, but, you know, people are pretty you know, gullible sometimes, I think, you know, when people tell them, oh, this happened, and you're like, well, I don't remember,
you know? Yeah, yeah.
But,
wow.
Yeah, you know, but it's true, though. It's true. Do you have any siblings?
I have a brother and I have a sister, yeah, and they're in Boston.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have a nice childhood growing up?
Mm-hmm. In Rhode Island, we go to the beach all the time. That's like kind of what you do. Actually, very similar to here.
Right.
You know, you go to the beach pretty much every day of the summer. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the beaches are nice there.
Oh, they're gorgeous. It's actually kind of a surfer culture, just like here.
Oh, really?
Quite a bit, yeah.
That's not the things I've heard of New York. You know?
Oh, no. That was in Rhode Island where I grew up.
Oh, in Rhode Island, yeah. I'm like thinking Long Island, you know. Okay, Rhode Island is a different place. And then you moved to New York, you said, right?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So Rhode Island does have nice beaches.
Oh, gorgeous beaches.
Really?
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did you guys move to Rhode Island? Was it work for your parents?
Yeah, yeah. My dad is a marine chemist, and actually so was my mom. And so
a marine chemist?
Mm-hmm. So you need to be near the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they do? What does it involve?
You test different samples of water to find out, and different animals to find out, you know, in terms of pollutants and safety of water. And I think they would be upset if I didn't know exactly anything more.
They love it.
My dad loves it. He still works. He's 80.
Really?
Almost 80.
Oh, wow.
Next month.
And they met both doing the same thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they met at in college. I think the first couple weeks of college, and they're together.
Oh, wow.
So they're still together.
Very nice. I'm one
of those real, like, unicorns whose parents are alive
and
together.
Yeah, yeah. So you must have had a good childhood, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
If the parents stay together, it means it's a peaceful house. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. And what do your siblings do?
My sister's a nurse, and my brother works in pharmaceuticals. What is it called? I can't think of the name. Where you analyze numbers. What is that called?
Number analyst.
Data
analyst.
They're never going to forgive me. Like, that's so funny.
That's okay. That gives us
statistician. Thank God. Statistician.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so the family is very numbers, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of the artist in the family.
Yeah.
Well, my father's artistic too, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So did you know early on you wanted to get into art and things like
definitely.
That?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, yeah. I when I was younger, immediately I was writing stories and telling stories.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and I always wanted to act things out. And, like, when I would watch TV or films, I thought when I see the child actors, I was like, I want to be there, you know.
Uh-huh.
I want to be there doing
really?
That, even the child actors. And sometimes it would, like, almost cause me pain, you know, because I wasn't doing it yet.
You wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
Wow. You're watching, like, the Mickey Mouse Club and things
like that? Right, things like that, yeah.
Yeah.
The, like, Nickelodeon things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, you know, I looked up – I remember we had a family ski trip, and there was a film playing in, you know, in the Lodge's theater. And I remembered sitting in that theater, and there was a young girl about my age, and I couldn't believe she was, like, one of the main stars of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked her up to see, like, what is she up to now? Because I remembered, you know, that feeling. I was like, oh, my gosh, she's in this movie. How amazing is that, you know? And I looked her up recently, and she had actually passed away from drug abuse. And, you know, I'm sober, so it's interesting to kind of think about those things because we had that in common that we were – both had those challenges, and she passed away in her early 20s, you know?
Oh, my
God. So it's
interesting
to think, like, just how things work out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Did she die from the drugs?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a tragedy, you know?
I know.
In her 20s?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different now. I think, like, kids on sets are taken care of much better. There's much more safety regulations.
Right,
on sets.
Yeah. Like, they get education and things like that.
I think it was just different back then.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I know what you mean because I used to feel that way with kids that sing, you know, they'd have like music festivals and stuff.
Definitely.
I'd go like, I can do that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I can relate to that. So at what did your parents know you wanted to do this?
Yeah, they supported me artistically.
So did you start as a child, actually?
No. They didn't want to bring me to auditions and stuff like that.
Right.
They didn't think of it that way. So really, the only first time, like I wanted to do theater and stuff like that early on. But the first opportunity I really had was in seventh grade, mm-hmm. which now looking back isn't that old. I think you're 12, you know. So like that was in junior high, and uh-huh. you have an elective, like you get to, you know, choose one of your courses. So immediately I chose theater.
Oh, okay.
And that was it. You know, I was I was the star of most of the high school stuff.
Did
and it
all
was
the,
fun.
The shows, the
yeah,
theater,
yeah,
and
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah.
The plays. And,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you managed to get yourself
yeah.
in all these.
I made it happen.
Yeah. And did you realize early on you had talent for this? I mean, or was it hard for you?
Well, I think talent is pretty subjective.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
But
if you kind of fit in and you don't feel strange about it,
yeah.
then you probably have that talent,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, talent's an interesting question because a lot of things I would say is a little bit of talent, a lot of luck, you know?
Right.
And
learning as well.
And learning, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I studied, right, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you have a desire to go to college? Or?
Yeah, I went to school. I went to NYU to school the arts. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so I studied film, and then I acted in everybody's, student films and my own.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a coincidence, because my guest yesterday, he's a filmmaker, and he went to NYU and studied film as well. So,
oh, how
and
funny.
It's like you guys are one day after another.
I know.
And it's like amazing, but... Yeah, there's never coincidences, you know? You
no.
never know.
No.
So did you like NYU?
I did, but the biggest change really was moving to New York City when you're a teenager. That's
right.
like even bigger than the college experience for me. It was like, wow, I'm in New York City, you
right.
know? And
it's quite different from Rhode Island,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty big city.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot to take in. And sometimes I feel like I know I learned things and I'm in touch with some of my professors and I enjoyed the process. But uh-huh. I think now in retrospect, it would have served me better to go to school a little bit later because I feel like in my mid-20s, I probably would have had more common sense and more focus.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, I agree with that. I think kids should not go to college right away because they just finished 12 years of school. You know, they're burned out and everything, you know. They're too young to really understand the importance of it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they, some of them don't do well, you know. Some of them just drop out. And I know that when I went right after high school, and I dropped after a year because I felt I wasn't ready yet, you know. And then I went back to school when I was 26, and I was on honor list all over the place, you know, because mm-hmm. You approach it more seriously, you know, more methodically,
I mean.
You know, it's like a business, you know.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And I think like I had, you know, a couple jobs, a couple like, college, summer jobs and stuff like that. But I didn't really understand how life worked. I had an internship, right. I remember, at like MTV
uh-huh.
and I was so excited, you know, and I thought, okay, we're going to go there and it's going to be play, you know, so much fun. And we're going to be like, I'd had this vision, like we'd be like throwing things around. It'd be like a party.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'll never forget, you know, they put me in this, like next to a woman in this little cubicle, both of us. And like at this desk. And I was like, oh, it's like an office job, like anything else, you know? And it was so crazy to me. I was just like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't even understand the real world. You know,
yeah.
I didn't understand that film and TV was a business. Yes, it was offices. You know, I would go to Viacom in Times Square and go
right.
there into that office. And I was like, well, this isn't what I want to do, you know?
Yeah. This is when MTV still played music videos and stuff,
I think
right?
it was making content at that point.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Like all those reality
actually,
shows.
I was at Viacom. I was initially going to be at MTV, and then they switched me to Nickelodeon. So I was actually in Nickelodeon.
I see.
Yeah, I should correct that. Yeah. Like I had like 1 or 2 days at MTV, and I was in a cubicle, and then I was moved to another cubicle.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In Nickelodeon, and
so
I was like, whoa.
That must have been fun. Although you were in an office, though, you weren't really part of the creative, right?
Yeah, I wanted to try to get into over there, but, you know, I wanted to like move to some things that I thought were quote unquote more fun, you know,
right,
and more
right.
creative. I mean, that's what everyone wants to do. So, yeah. you know, it was interesting. But I remember I sat there and I would like read the scripts and, you know, I was sort of clueless, you know, sort of clueless and pretty idealistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, idealism is a beautiful thing, but
it really is, you know, when you're young and everything, you know, you have dreams.
Mm-hmm. I know. And sometimes I think about that, like as we get older, you know, we carry all of our rejection, we carry all of our stories with us. And lately I've been like, what if I could just feel the way I felt, like everything was possible? Like, I want to really infuse my life with that somehow. I want to have that feeling, like the way it was like, of course you can do that. Of course you can do that.
Right.
You know, you don't know, you know, and some people get really lucky and they do experience those early, early fantastic successes. And then they do feel like it was just talent and luck and it was them. But and for me, I mean, I feel like with like having a lot of like rejection in my life and fighting against things, you know, you carry these stories, and I'm like, I can just let go of these stories, you know, and like be here in this moment.
Exactly. Yeah, you start having doubts about your abilities.
Oh yeah,
so
I mean, yeah, but if you have like early success, everyone's telling you how great you are. You don't even have those doubts, but you know. But if you have the other way, you really have to fight and keep learning and keep studying. But I think ultimately that's great too.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. And I think there's drawbacks to starting early because when you see some of these child actors and stuff, they've had problems later on because they were accustomed to all that attention.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't there anymore and they go crazy, you know.
Yeah, totally.
They're like, you know, people don't like me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so that, and kids probably can't handle it very well.
No, I mean, you think that's normal, you know? And and I mean, who doesn't want attention all the time? Well,
exactly.
Some people maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't mind lots of attention all the time. But then again, I like to isolate, you know?
Right.
As a creative person, as a writer and an actor, I like to like give a lot and then like kind of hide for a little bit and like refuel. I meditate, you know, exercise, tune out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's good, actually, you know? It's a good way of doing things where you can keep things stable, you know?
I do my best. And, yeah, I need it.
Sure.
I mean, otherwise I'm just totally a wreck.
Awesome. Did you live on campus at the time in NYU?
For a minute I lived with, on-campus housing.
Yeah, dorm,
And then I didn't like it, so I moved into a little studio that I lived in alone. It was really small. It was smaller than... It was probably about half this room.
Really?
Yeah, half this room.
Oh, wow. But you know what? That's still more than some people get.
I know.
Because I was reading in the paper today that I know my son went through it when he went to school in San Francisco. But today, the students rent like a bed in a house, you know?
Wow.
And that's all you get
for
$1,200 a month.
Oh, my God.
You only get half a room, you know?
Wow.
And I thought, how can they manage this, you know? I mean, my son lived the same way because San Francisco is so expensive, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And students can't afford a lot of money,
oh,
you know?
No,
but,
no.
I mean, $1,200 for one bed in a house with, like, eight people is, you know,
my gosh.
Yeah, and you have
to
share a bathroom.
That's
and
a lot for a bed.
It really is, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you share a bathroom and everything. I can't imagine living like that, you know?
No.
But then again, when you're young,
yeah,
you know, you're
young,
okay. You're
you know?
More flexible,
yeah.
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It's better then.
Yeah,
know? It's better
I know. Then. I know, because you don't know any better, you know?
No.
And then you grow up and you get older and you go, you know.
Oh, you have all these needs.
Yeah, so you're picky, you know?
Yeah.
But that's cool, you know? So, so then you finished school. What did you do then?
Let's see. After school, actually, I moved out here. I moved to LA. I lived in Venice for a year.
Oh, okay.
And I worked at a production company. Uh-huh. And
living in Venice is amazing, right?
Yeah, it's great. And it's like Venice is fantastic.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of cleaned it up. So when we first moved here a couple of years ago, I mean, it was homeless everywhere, tents everywhere.
Right.
But they've cleaned it up a fair amount. Not completely, but a fair amount.
Right,
I
there's still the characters
yeah.
from a long time ago, still there,
yeah.
hanging out there.
Yeah, it's and the, colorful.
And the smell of weed is a lot stronger these days.
It's everywhere. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is.
But same in New York City now because it's legal.
Yeah,
you know?
So people walk on the street and smoke?
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Because it's legal. I mean, don't you
right.
do you ever notice on the freeway when you're driving and you happen to have your window down and then you get a big cloud of it and then you realize, wait a minute. Oh, my God, someone's smoking right now on the freeway, and
right.
they're driving next to me. It's
exactly,
scary.
And they're getting high. You
yeah,
know?
That's mean, right. It's kind
yeah,
of
it's
terrifying.
It's not like smoking a cigarette.
It happens to me almost like, say, once a week, I have that experience in the car.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
It's like, whoa. But then I can't even think about it.
I know. It's dangerous. It's just as bad as driving drunk, you know?
Oh,
people
totally.
Don't realize that.
Way worse.
Yeah.
For me personally, when I used to. And, you know, it reminds me of, like, the saying that, like, you know, like, I can't even think about it because it will just drive you crazy. It will terrify you.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about everyone texting, and I'm not perfect either, you know, and
right.
and I'm a distracted driver sometimes, too. And it's like, so I just have to be like, okay, focus. You're driving on a freeway,
right.
you know,
right. yeah,
with lots of other people. Do your best, you know.
Exactly, yeah. So back to Venice, you went worked for a production company.
Yeah, I worked for a production company, but I miss New York, so I moved back.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And sometimes I like think about my parallel life if I had stayed in Venice, you know,
uh-huh.
what it would have been like. Because really, film and TV is more prominent, obviously. Obviously, I don't
well,
need to say
yeah,
that in
here,
LA here.
Yeah.
You know, and so I moved back to New York, and so I struggled a little bit. And then I made my first feature film when I was about 25.
Oh,
and
really?
I acted, directed, and starred in it. And it was a pretty good film. And it didn't – this now nowadays, I would have been able to sell it to anything, like, because there's just so much – so much content and like ways to sell
right.
things. But back then there wasn't really that availability and I was young. So what happened was like I applied to a few big festivals and I didn't get into them and I got really discouraged.
Mm.
And so then for a while I didn't do film and I was kind of working, I was studying theater and stuff like that and writing. And then I decided, okay, well, if you're going to do this again, if you're going to make another film, you have to understand, you know, things are unfair. It's a lot of luck, but you need to go in with a good attitude if you want to, like, do it again.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So a few years later, I started another film, but then I had to get sober because I was drinking a lot at the time.
Mm.
And so then I kind of stopped that. And then again, I was like, I don't think I should do film and TV again. It always gets me so discouraged. And
it's
so,
it's a gamble to
yeah.
actually put a movie together.
It's
right?
it's a challenging
yeah.
situation. And
you
I
don't
had a
know
couple
if people
things,
are going to like it.
Yeah, and, like, I had a couple things that, like, were, like, really near misses. Like I was going to be on this like one show that was going to be big and then it didn't work out. So I got discouraged. And then I decided to write a different kind of book about like meditation and things like that. And then I decided, you know what? I do miss film and TV.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to commit myself more. And I have to, again, go return to it with a much better attitude, which I don't think I've ever, like, really succeeded on that promise I made to myself.
Yeah.
You know, but I was cast in a commercial, and I remembered being on set, and I was like, oh, this is really fun.
Yeah.
This is, like, what I miss. And
right.
I, like, miss like telling stories, playing characters, you know. I mean, I love writing, and I write probably every day. And
really?
Oh, yeah.
What
I mean,
I've
always
write, what do you write? Like
well,
scripts and things like that?
Yeah, like right now, like I finished a novel during the SAG-AFTRA strike. I have a novel. So I've been sending that out, actually.
Oh, nice.
And I wrote the TV show.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote a feature film during, like a lot of this during the strikes. And I'm always working on something.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm always writing, like, you know, the notes section in your phone. I'm always, like, kind of keeping a journal there or
uh-huh.
ideas. I mean, I have a bunch of things. Like, I have that urgency where, like, I have, like, I really want to do a lot of different projects.
That's very
yeah.
cool. You know,
yeah.
you're very ambitious.
Oh, thank
Why
you.
Don't you promote the book? What's the book called?
It's called Hot New Listing. I've been sending it out to literary agents. It's about a single mom who has addiction problems working in real estate in Manhattan in about 2006. I worked in real estate for like almost 9 years on and off in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And there's some good and bad to that. Actually, now I'm like one of my fascinations and obsessions is real estate. I love
really?
Yeah, like
yeah.
I love looking at real estate. I really feel for agents because I know how hard it is. I mean, it's commission based only.
Right.
That's it. You
right.
don't have a base, you
right.
know. And
but it's high commission. I mean,
yeah,
when you make a sale,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's pretty
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, in New York, you know, it's fast paced and stuff like that. So I worked in that for a while. So I kind of set it there, this, you know, this, this story. So it's sort of the glamour of, you know, New York real estate meets this woman's single mom's addiction problems.
Right.
And, it's ultimately, you know, ultimately she triumphs. So
right.
That's good. Yeah.
Sounds like your story, kinda.
Kind of. I know all of them are kind of vaguely my story, just like my TV show, Malibu Mother of Two, you know, because it's funny, when I wrote that, I initially thought, like I'm writing a character, right?
Right.
And then I was like, wait a minute, there's a lot of things in common. I mean, in, like, ridiculous. So it's about a mother who, of two boys who, you know, moves to LA, and that's similar. She's a wellness and writer and influencer. So she writes about, you know, recovery and things like that at a fashion magazine. And her boss informs her that the magazine's going under. So she suggests that she, Nina, my the main character, move, you know, use her vacation time. So Nina comes to L.A. under the guise of looking for a new job. But really, she's there to see her husband. They're having problems in her marriage. She had, Nina, had asked them for her husband, Tyler, for an open marriage. And now she wants to renegotiate the open marriage she thought she wanted.
I see. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he agreed to it, and then she
He didn't
her
like
mind?
It. He agreed because he didn't have a choice,
right.
You know. But now here he is in L.A. He's a TV director. He's thriving. He's like, I'm okay with this separation.
Yeah.
And now she wants to get back together.
Right.
And
right.
He doesn't, you know, want to.
Yeah, that's
so
a good story.
Yeah,
that's
so she relapses place. And starts drinking again, which also puts her job at bay because she's the face of recovery and wellness, you know. And so she tries to, you know, she's out here to try to make it work with him, and he's not really sure about that anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shows you, like, sometimes be careful of what you wish for.
Absolutely.
Right?
You know, you think you want one thing. I mean, we've all had that. We think we want one thing, and
right.
then it shifts. You're like, oh, this actually wasn't what I wanted.
Right.
And sometimes it's great to, like, that you didn't get the things you really thought you wanted, like, because they probably weren't going to be the best thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I do have to say, because, you know, a lot of it's based on my experiences, but I personally I'm probably more traditional and selfish and jealous. I could never have an open marriage.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by it, and I knew the concept of it would be ripe with drama because you've got dating involved. You've got other partners involved.
Right.
So I was kind of fascinated with that. I had a friend in New York, and they had an open marriage,
yeah.
and the two of them, but now they're divorced.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think it's really incredible, and I think for some people it really suits their lifestyle.
Right.
But for me, it's just not a choice.
Yeah, for most people it doesn't work, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And sometimes I wonder, you know, because the person that proposes it is taking a big chance, you know,
yeah.
because once your partner finds out you want to have sex with other people, it's like, I don't know if I want to stay here anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
And, yeah, you know.
You must really want it to bring it up and propose it to your partner, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think she even thought it through. I think
yeah.
she just thought this would be an interesting thing to try.
Right.
And, you know, he thinks it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And so they're into it about a year when the pilot starts, the first season, the first episode of the season. And so that's when she comes to L.A. and she tries to make amends with her husband. And he doesn't want to. So then she starts drinking. And then she does start dating out here, which is fun. But the, you know, the spine of the series is Nina's emotional journey, her sobriety,
right.
her husband, and her new dating life,
right.
and her being a mom.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is your current show right
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Malibu Mother of Two.
Okay. That
yeah.
explains it pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
Do you live in Malibu now?
No, I live in Santa Monica, but Santa
right.
Monica Mother of Two didn't rhyme.
Yeah, exactly. Malibu sounds better.
And there's sort of that cachet with Malibu, right? There's
yeah.
always that, like, I don't know. It's sort of like the Malibu is known around the world, you know.
Right.
It's just that, like, ooh, glamour, beach, you know, beauty.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
That's why
yeah.
I brought it in.
And people can relate to it, yeah. you know. I mean, it's a place where everybody would like to live. You
yeah,
know?
They
so,
think.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. So the series is fictional, but it's based on a lot of
yeah,
your
it's
parts
fiction.
Of your life. And
it's
stuff,
fiction.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And we're all playing characters.
So you wrote the series. How many episodes?
Right now I've written eight.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have this producer, Cece Cleary. She's produced a bunch of films, and one of her films, To Leslie, was Academy nominated for Best Actress. for one of the actresses in the film. So we are trying to sort of shop it around. It's in development. So that means, you know, we're looking for production companies. We're looking for investors and talent. That's what we're up to right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. How did you meet her?
We met, there's something called Stage 32, which is an online network of film professionals and writers. And I hadn't even been on it for years. And for some reason, I posted something there. And then we connected. She read my feature script and Malibu Mother of Two pilot, and she liked them both. So, you know, lawyers put up an agreement. And, yeah, so now we're working on both of them together.
Right. So that, so the book and the series are similar, right?
Yeah, they're all similar. And it's funny because they all – I kind of wrote them all at the same time. I wrote a feature film thriller about something very similar, a TV series.
And right.
I wrote the TV series because I wanted to write something lighter. The feature thriller script is a little bit of a darker tone of all of that. Mm. So the Malibu Mother of Two, I decided I want to make that lighter, brighter, you know, sunnier, even though it has, you know, there are issues, you know, actually, you know, the whole season leads up to the discovery of a tragic event that Nina desperately needs forgiveness for. So there is darker elements, but mostly I try to keep it bright and light.
Right.
And then the novel, it's a little bit darker, but that, so I had that laying around. And so I had always thought I wanted to finish the novel. So I had, during the actor strike, I didn't have any auditions really. So I was like, I'll finish that. I'll finish that. So it's just, I know it's done, you know, and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So is it published yet?
No, I'm sending it right now to literary agents. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good luck to you with that. You know, I mean, it sounds pretty, you know, you put in a lot of effort into something like that.
Yeah. I feel like I have like three projects that I'm just ready to sell and create and put out into the world.
Right.
My feature film script, White Lies and Darker Ones. And then Malibu Mother of Two, and then Hot New Listing, which is the real estate novel.
Right.
And then I have another book that I wrote that I want to redo already. So that's kind of, you know, I think because I had like, I don't know, I think, I feel like I'm always behind in time, and I want to work on that. Like, I feel like I'm always in a hurry. I don't know if it's because I was, you know, I lived in Manhattan for so long. New York,
probably
the pace,
it has something to do with it,
or if it's like just my makeup, I'm just like it always. I just have to be okay. Now the next thing, okay. Oh God, I can hardly keep up. Like I can hardly keep up, and I think it's because I feel like I lost a lot of time somewhere where there's just time where, well, maybe with my drinking years, you know, and things like that. There was a lot of time. I mean, time gets lost, you know, especially if like towards the end, if you think like you're drinking a lot, like you know. Days are lost.
Yeah,
years are
true.
Lost.
Right.
So I think even before that, I felt like I was always in a hurry and behind.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because I was ready to be a child actor.
Yeah,
and I couldn't really get around to it until later. So I always felt like I was behind to those people, you know. But I do my best to let all that go. You know, I bring that up just to kind of give context to the feelings I have. But I mean, in general, I'm trying to slow down, and also the biggest thing lately I've been working on is just letting go. I just have to surrender. Like whatever, I have to just be here. I have to be here, you know? And there was a time when, I was like, oh, I want to have kids, and I didn't have a partner or anything, and all I wanted was to have a child. Now I have that, and now I'm racing to the next thing. It's like, you know, I keep changing I was like really wanted to, you know, have a child. I knew it was mostly like I didn't have a maternal urge. I just knew I would regret it. And I didn't want one more regret, you know. I was like, I can't regret any more things. I have to have a child, you know. And so, I mean, I'm fortunate that I met my husband and we quickly had a child and then we quickly had another. And so they're close in age. You know, they're about 2 years apart, which
that's
is nice.
Good. Yeah, that's good. They grew up together.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many years have you been sober already?
14.
14 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long did you have the drinking problem for?
I mean,
many years?
I mean, you could kind of say, you know, well, definitely, yeah. I mean, who knows when it, like, it's a progressive thing.
I see.
You know? So it creeps up on you. You think you don't really have a problem, or maybe you quit for a little bit, and then it just gets worse and worse. And I think personally, as a woman, for sure, like, by the time I was 30, I mean, it just got worse in like my late 20s and my early 30s. It was bad. And thank God I had this willingness, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, you can just think like you can brush a problem aside. But for me, it was getting more and more clear.
Right.
Yeah. And I felt like, yeah, I mean,
so
there was a lot
the breakthrough?
Of dark nights.
Did you have some intervention or anything? Or?
No. No, I just, the last couple nights were so terrible. You know,
you decided that's it.
Yeah, yeah. There were just, you know, I'm with like really bad people in bad experiences, bad places, some random warehouse in Brooklyn. I don't want to be with people doing really bad things, you know, and I just was like,
yeah,
I don't know. That was sort of one of the moments. Yeah.
Yeah. This was your bottom, like they say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was with a really horrible person.
Yeah.
That I just met.
Really?
I think he'd just gotten out of prison.
Oh,
it
no.
It was bad news. Yeah, it was really bad news. And I remember being like, if I get out of here alive, I'm going to go to Boston, stay with my sister, whether or not she or her husband want me to, and, like, start counting days. It's what, you know, they say in AA, you know, you start counting days. Like,
good for you. So yeah. You saved yourself pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. You're very fortunate. You know?
I am, yeah. 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 I just knew my days were limited. And also, like, it was September 23rd. It's like my sober date. So it was also starting to get cold, you know. And I was like, I don't have another winter in me. I just knew. Because, like, I was always falling on the ice and, like, falling all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I know. It's so crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing that people continue doing this.
I know.
Even though, you know, they realize their life has fallen apart.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
But it's hard to stop, huh? It's
it is.
Very...
In fact, once I had a relapse before September 23rd of 2010, I had, before that, I had stopped for like a couple months and then I relapsed. And then it was just, I could not stop. I could not stop. I was like an animal on the street.
Really?
It was crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see you're out of it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? You've been. Yeah. For a long time and stuff.
Yeah.
Put your life together and everything. Where did you meet your husband?
We met in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And we went out to dinner at this nice place. And we got along pretty well. And
how did you meet, though? How did you find out about
each
other?
Oh, well, we were both runners. We were in a running team. I'm funny because I never went to this, like, running group.
Uh-huh.
And I actually don't like running in groups. I hate it. I hate races. I'm like, I just want to run to kind of stay in shape. I just want to run to be inside my head and like release things. I don't want to like make small talk, but I'm huffing and puffing, you know, I despise running groups, but I went to this running group and then we met and then he asked me out to dinner.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yeah.
That's a good, good
and
way
it's,
to meet
it's
someone.
Funny because, when we went out, I had just come back from a trip to California.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, oh, I love California. I love it. Because he wanted to move back. He was only planning on being in New York for a year.
Right.
He had a year work, a work job for a year. And so I was like, oh, I love California. But then, like, when we had the kids, I was like, you know, we'd been in New York for about 2 years together. And he wanted – we needed to move either to a bigger place in New York or to California.
Right.
And – you know, his parents were getting older. He wanted to be close to his brother who's in San Diego. So, and I was like, well, I'm not sure I want to move to California, you know. I said, I like it and I do like it, but I'm like not ready to uproot everybody in my whole system and my family, you know, because my family is on the East Coast, you know.
Right.
But it's worked out pretty well. And now I really can't. Well, it's funny. I was, okay, so when I had the second guy, you know, he was born in March. And I had to get them both ready to go to the park. And so I'm putting on all these jackets, these boots to get them, like, all this winter stuff. And you go out to the park, you take it all out, like, all off when you come back. Everything's wet because it's, like, wet snow. And I was like, maybe I will move to California, you know. And I think I was so early days with the baby. The baby was so little that I didn't even have my full brain, you know. I know I was, like, breastfeeding and just taking care of the baby. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go to California. I mean, I barely even remember agreeing, you know. And then we did it. And now I can't even believe I made that giant shift, you know. And then it was like, whoa, okay, now here I am. And it felt really different because in New York, or particularly a lot of my life, you know, I'm a single artistic person running around New York, boom, boom, boom. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, you're in a place. You know, you're in California, which is a lot slower, a lot quieter. Sure, it's still a city, but I'm here. It felt very suburban to me.
Right.
I'm here in this place with two kids. It's quieter. There's not that buzz of the city. It was just like, whoa, it was a big change. It was a little isolating, you know?
I can imagine. Yeah. And you didn't know anybody here. When
I knew some people, but funny enough, those people I didn't end up, you know, really spending time with. I made different friends. You know, it's funny. But I did think, you know, I did know just from coming out here that they had like great sobriety. They had great meetings. And just having that network, honestly, you know, you're going to probably have friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I knew, like, I don't even think I thought that through very much.
Yeah,
but now I can't imagine it because, well, you know, having space. California, you have the mountains, the ocean.
That's true. You've got everything.
You've got hiking. You've got the desert. Uh-huh. You know, it's a nice feeling to have some space, you know.
Yeah. No, pretty much you can find everything in California.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why so many people move here, and that's why it's so expensive to live here.
I know. I know.
Everybody wants to live here. You know?
I know. What part of town do you live in?
I'm like 5 minutes from here.
This is a nice area.
Yeah, by design. You know, I mean, I come and go to the studio. I figured I don't want to deal with traffic. You know, I've done that before.
Totally.
And it's not fun. You know? We were in Sherman Oaks before, and I lived here, and I had to go back and forth twice a day on the 101, and that wasn't fun. You know?
No.
So, Belle Boeuf, mother of two. Who? So you star in the series. Mm-hmm. Who are the kids in the? Do you show the kids in the movie?
Yeah. What's funny is so I made a short film to sort of just give a feel of the whole series.
Okay.
And so I sat both my boys down and I said, "Look, I'm going to cast some boys to play my sons in the movie," and they're like, "No, we want to do it." So I was like, "Okay." Okay, so we did it, and they played it. But I think moving forward, they probably won't want to do it. And then that's a big question for myself, because I'm like, if they even wanted to, and, you know, if and when we get to the time where we're shooting, you know, I have to think about it myself. Like, would I want them to be a little bit out of school or so much, you know, even if they wanted to do it? But I don't think they want to do it. I think my oldest doesn't, and I'm pretty sure the youngest doesn't either.
Right.
I think by a few days in, they're like ready to be done with it.
Yeah. Now, do you have a crew that works on the show and everything? Or?
Well, with the short, I had a crew, and we shot, and then we edited, and now we're looking for, you know, this would probably be on a streamer. This would probably be on like Hulu, Netflix, or you know.
It's not out yet, right?
No, it's not out yet. So we're packaging it. You know,
I see.
We're looking for other actors to populate the rest of the cast,
right?
And we're looking for investors. So you can either get sort of the money first, and then attract the talent, or get some talent and then attract the money. But actually, to get the talent, you need the money.
You need the money.
So it's sort of very circular.
Yeah.
And so we've had some conversations, but we're we're making some headway now.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It takes hard work, you know. I mean, because like you said, you're competing with a lot of other content out there. And everything. But, you know, I mean, the title sounds good. The idea sounds good.
Yeah.
And I think I'm pretty sure you're going to find somebody, you know, that really believes in this. Like
you
I do,
hope
you
so.
Know? Yeah.
I like your attitude. Yeah.
No, really.
No, I agree.
Yeah. You've got to believe, you know. I mean,
definitely.
Yeah. And so is it a comedy or is it more like
I call it a dramedy, you know, which is like it's mostly comedy, but there's some serious thing. You know, I'm dealing with kind of some topics that are, you know, that are not easy, such as sobriety or, you know, when someone relapses or, a tenuous marriage, things like that. But I try to do it with with lightness, and I try to infuse it with comedy.
Right.
Because that's just kind of what I like nowadays, you know.
Right, yeah.
I kind of wrote something I thought I would probably watch.
Yeah.
That's
you
important.
Want to make it somewhat lighter, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want something so so serious and heavy, you know.
Yeah,
that people are like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, there's always when you insert comedy into something, I think it helps. You
it
know?
Does. It does.
Because so, people like to laugh. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. And you know, I'm a couple years ago, I sold a film that I wrote, directed, acted in, along with Tom Sizemore, you know, rest his soul, called Central Park Dark. We shot that in Central Park, surprise.
Oh, yeah?
And that's a horror thriller film. Uh-huh. And even that had a lot, I thought had a lot of comedy in it. Yeah.
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 What's it called?
Central Park Dark.
Oh, okay. When did that come out?
I think it was 2021.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Maybe I can find it somewhere.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
The trailer's great. You can watch the trailer. It's got the best parts. And you can watch the whole thing, too.
So it's a horror film?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So first I wrote it as a thriller, but I made it with such a low budget that I needed to make it more of a horror to make it more sellable, like marketable. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a full feature film or a short?
It's a feature, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty ambitious.
Yeah, thank you.
How did you put that all together?
I wrote the script.
Right.
And so initially it was set upstate in upstate New York. And because I had a friend who had a place up there, an ex-boyfriend. And he and I broke up, so I didn't have that location anymore. And so then I was like, oh, it was like almost a stroke of like luck that I was like, oh, Central Park would be even better, you know, to set it there.
Right.
And so so I shifted a few things in the script. And then when I got Tom Sizemore involved, we quickly were ready to go. I was actually pregnant with my first child, so we kind of had to shoot. And also I had this feeling or this fear at the time, oh, what if like I have a child and then I never want to make another film? I have to make it right now.
Yeah.
So I added like, you know, I was pregnant for some of it, and you can see that. And so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's always fun and crazy to have like a pregnant woman in a horror film.
Yeah, true. Now, was it a large cast in the film?
No, it was pretty small. It was me, Tom, and about like three other main characters.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds fascinating. Now I want to see it, you know.
It's called, I say it's a one-night stand that turns into a never-ending nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Sounds like horror to me.
I know, sounds like horror. And film production. I always think to myself, that actually explains making a film.
Yeah.
A never-ending nightmare, because there's always problems, you know.
That's
or at least
true.
For me, everything I've worked on,
right.
Maybe larger budgets have like more things together, but
yeah.
I feel like everywhere has problems. I mean, there are challenges in every project, you
that's
know.
That's true.
And you really have to just have that stamina to keep, you know, going on, keep finishing it. And some people were like, just set this aside. I was like, I'm not gonna set this aside. I'm gonna finish this,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And the few things I have set aside, I totally regretted.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, you're a very ambitious woman. You do a lot of things.
Thank you.
Very admirable, you know, and I like people that are busy with a lot of things, you know. I mean, your mind is like full of things, you know, and obviously.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. How can people find you, and how can they, if we have someone listening who wants to get involved, what do they get in touch with?
So my website is CybilLake.com, CYBILLAKE.com. And, also, I'm on Instagram, same thing, Cybil Lake. And, also I have a production company website, MorganEaglePictures.com.
Okay.
And that has the trailer of Malibu Mother of Two and, lots of information about it.
Oh, cool. So you have a trailer for it already.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. So ten episodes, did you say, or eight?
I wrote eight so far. I'm probably going to try to get a few more done.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's
well, while we're packaging it, I figured I'd just keep writing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you all the success in the world. You
Thank
know,
you.
I hope
you too.
Someone helps you to pick it up and everything. You
Thank
know.
You so much.
Of course. And keep doing great things. You know, I mean, you're blessed, I think. You know?
Oh,
and
thank
that's,
you.
That's a great thing, you know.
That's so nice of you to say. I really appreciate it. My heart feels warm.
Great. I'm glad you joined us.
I know. I'm so happy.
You're a fun person.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And sorry about the parking problems, but you made it on time.
That's what's
important.
We got it.
All right, everybody. This is Cybil Lake. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.